KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, today northwest winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. Tonight northwest winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. And Thursday northwest winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, today west winds 10 knots, seas 3 feet. Tonight west winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet with fog. And Thursday, variable winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet with fog. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory Thursday. Today, south winds 15 knots, seas 5 feet. Tonight, south winds 15 knots, seas 5 feet. And Thursday, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 9 feet. Port Hyden and Nelson Lagoon, today, south winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. Tonight, southeast winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. And Thursday, southeast winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory Thursday. Today, south winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. Tonight, southeast winds 15 knots, seas 2 feet. And Thursday, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 2 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, mostly sunny. Patchy fog in the afternoon, highs in the upper 20s to upper 30s, variable winds 10 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear, patchy fog, lows in the mid-20s to mid-30s, southeast winds 15 miles an hour. And Thursday, partly cloudy, isolated snow showers in the morning, then scattered rain showers and isolated snow showers in the afternoon. Patchy fog, highs in the 30s, southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a low tide at 12:14 a.m. at 2 feet, 8 inches. A high at 6:57 a.m. at 7 feet, 10 inches. A low at 2:32 at 9 inches. And a high tonight at 9:06 at 4 feet, 7 inches. Your sun rose at 9:25 this morning and your sun will set at 6:27, giving us 9 hours and 3 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I am Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Coming up on KUCB News, APVs are legal on Unalaska's public roads again, and tariffs could have a big impact on Alaska's economy. Stay tuned.
Aliyut is proud to sponsor the stories and voices that connect our community. Aliyut is committed to building a stronger future for our region. To learn more about Aliyut's commitment for a stronger future, visit aliyutcorp.com.
Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in. It's Wednesday, February 5th, 2025. This is National Weather Person's Day, so here's a big shout out to Ryan Humphrey. Ryan, thanks for keeping the community up to date on the forecast each morning. I wouldn't know which coat to put on without you. This is KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk, with some local news from Unalaska. Small, versatile vehicles like four-wheelers and side-by-sides are legal again on Unalaska's public roads. A mayoral veto keeping all-purpose vehicles, or APVs, off the streets was overturned by the Unalaska City Council last week. The City Council originally voted in mid-January to overturn a years-long local ban that kept APVs off public roads. But 2 days after the vote, Unalaska Mayor Vince Tudiakoff Sr. vetoed the change. Tudiakoff cited safety and enforcement concerns as reasons to keep the ban in place. He voiced support for a public vote on the issue.
The effects of this happening will be on this council. And I guess I've done my what I feel is my duty to protect this community as best I can. But I still believe that the community has an option.
Councilmember Sherry Coleman initially voted against allowing APVs on public roads, but she later voted to overturn Tudyakov's veto, a decision she says came down to procedure.
I think that this matter probably would have been best served going to ballot measure, but it went through council, and the council is representative of the community as a body. And I feel like that process was well served and with plenty of participation and chance for community to put their input in.
A key opponent of the move to overturn the ban was the Unalashka Corporation, which is the regional Alaska Native Corporation and a prominent landowner in Unalaska. Tudyakov serves as chairman for the group's board of directors. Over the past few months, OC representatives have expressed concern that allowing APVs on public roads could encourage drivers to take those vehicles off-road, specifically on private, corporation-owned lands. Council members decided to raise the fine for off-roading during a meeting late last year in response to OC's comments. Now, anyone found unlawfully using an APV on private lands, including OC's, is subject to a $1,000 fine. Still, the corporation's CEO, Natalie Kale, said at last week's meeting that she expects APVs to be driven off-road anyway.
When this does get brought back up in terms of enforcement, not necessarily legality, consider how you're going to assist the property owners in getting enforcement and getting these fines into the hands of the property owners, please.
APV operators on public roads are subject to regulations like all other drivers. They need a driver's license, registration, license plate, and signal lights, among other standard requirements. Any ballot measures on the issue wouldn't be addressed until the fall. President Donald Trump sparked widespread concern in Alaska over the weekend when he announced steep tariffs on imports from the United States' three largest trading partners. By Monday morning, the Trump administration had partially paused the policy. But that hasn't stymied worries in Alaska. The tariffs could dramatically impact the state if they go forward. At stake is everything from grocery and timber prices to the economies of border towns like Haines and Skagway. The Alaska Desk's Avery Elfelt has the story.
Alaska is particularly vulnerable to looming tariffs on goods imported from Canada. That's due in large part to the state's unique proximity to Canada and its reliance on the country for timber, agricultural products, and more. Kevin Berry chairs the economics department at the University of Alaska Anchorage.
We're facing potentially higher costs from any good that's produced and sold from Canada, as well as smaller markets for our own goods. There's also the potential for disruption when it comes to the Alcan or transportation to Lower 48.
But Alaska stands to lose a lot from the China tariffs, too. Gregory Wolf, the executive director of the World Trade Center of Alaska, says China has been the state's top trading partner for much of the last 15 years. China already responded to Trump's tariffs by imposing tariffs of its own on U.S. imports. Wolf says the back-and-forth means Chinese consumers will pay more for products that U.S. companies want to sell them. Meanwhile, Americans, including Alaskans, will spend more on countless Chinese goods.
I don't think it's clear to many Americans or Alaskans who pays these tariffs. It almost sounds, if you listen to the president, that China will write a check to us. That never happens. It's never happened. It will never happen. The people who pay the tariff are the people in America who import the goods from China.
The tariffs came from an executive order on Saturday that placed 25% tariffs on Canadian and Mexican goods and 10% tariffs on Chinese goods. Trump's aim? To push the three countries to curb the flow of undocumented immigrants and drugs including fentanyl into the U.S. There's not a lot that state lawmakers can do about tariffs proposed by the president. But Senate Majority Leader Kathy Geisel, a Republican from Anchorage, is currently drafting a resolution to formally oppose the policy. She says the tariffs would increase prices on a range of goods and necessities.
Here in Alaska, that means a lot in terms of housing costs and, of course, groceries.
In a place where the cost of living is already exorbitant, that's bad news. But Geisel says the tariffs also pose a major threat to something else, Alaska's crucial and longstanding relationship with its only neighbor, including as it relates to military defense.
They join our Air Force in responding when Russian or Chinese aircraft are threatening our air borders. Their Navy and Coast Guard responds in defense of our marine borders. These are significant partnerships that are being jeopardized by the proposal of these tariffs.
Remote communities located close to the border could be hit particularly hard. That's because their cost of living is already exorbitant, and they rely more heavily on goods coming from Canada. Consider Skagway, which sits just 15 miles from the Canadian border. Residents and businesses in the coastal tourist town frequently go to Whitehorse, 2 hours away, for groceries and other products. Orion Hansen, a builder and a member of the Skagway Assembly, says he purchases supplies in Whitehorse for most of the homes he builds. He's worried that tariffs, assuming they take effect, would make doing so more complicated and expensive.
As a builder, I have a lot of concerns about how much lumber prices would go up. I think steel prices would go up. I think concrete prices would go up. Let alone if fuel prices go up, that's going to affect every facet of the economy.
The tariffs do have the potential to disrupt businesses like Hansen's, depending on how much money they spend on Canadian goods. But the tariffs are less likely to impact residents who drive to Whitehorse for groceries. That's because they're meant to target larger operations. The tariffs could have a sweeping set of other impacts, depending on their final form and how Canada responds. They could, for instance, impact tour operators or other businesses if Canada retaliates by imposing fees for using Canadian highways. The nitty-gritty details of the tariffs remain to be seen, as does whether they'll even take force. But Hansen says the stakes are high.
Cost of living is very expensive in Skagway, and I'm concerned that this would exacerbate that and make it worse and make it harder to live here year-round.
The proposed tariffs on Canada and Mexico are paused through February to allow for negotiations over steps the countries will take to crack down on border security and drug trafficking. The tariffs on Chinese products took effect Tuesday. China responded by announcing its own tariffs on coal, crude oil, and other U.S. imports. In Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
Lawmakers are working to hammer out a compromise on an education bill that could avoid the governor's veto. Governor Mike Dunleavy convened the group, which includes members of his staff, as well as the House and Senate's multi-party majority caucuses and Republican minorities. At a news conference yesterday afternoon, Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Willikowski said he's hopeful that lawmakers will work out a deal.
I feel like this morning was a productive conversation. I think, you know, we talked kind of in broader pictures about what we want education in Alaska to look like. And we'll continue the discussion and see where it goes.
Increasing state funding for public education is a major priority for the Democrat-heavy majorities in the House and Senate. They're looking to avoid a repeat of last year when Dunleavy vetoed an omnibus education bill. Legislative leaders are pursuing bills that would significantly boost funding to districts under the traditional formula. Dunleavy, meanwhile, has proposed modifying the formula to emphasize correspondence and technical education, along with other reforms. Sitka Independent Representative Rebecca Himshut, one of the negotiators for the multi-party House majority, along with Dillingham Independent Speaker Bryce Edgman, says it's too soon to say whether lawmakers and the governor will find common ground. But she says everyone's negotiating in good faith.
We're really early on in trying to find common ground, but I will say that it's a room full of really good intentions. So that's, you know, that's an optimistic start.
Lawmakers say they're hesitant to describe specifics of the closed-door meetings. But for now, Wasilla Republican Senate Minority Leader Mike Schauer says the early signs are positive.
We were all wondering, would we be able to, you know, will we have any confrontation up front where we were too far apart? It sounds like there was none of that. So that is a good, it sounds like we're in a good start to go. There's a money side and a policy side, and everybody was willing to discuss. So that's this is a good first step.
Dunleavy and legislative leaders have each said they hope to work through negotiations quickly in order to allow school districts time to plan their budgets for the next school year. Tune in Fridays at noon and 5 right here at KUCB for new episodes of the Bering Sea Barometer. Join your host, Captain Pete Nathan, for a taste of the real-life experiences of fishing the Bering Sea. Be sure to check out our other new series, too. It's called Amplifying the Aleutians. We interview longtime Channel 8 TV and KUCB alums for a glimpse into the history of the station and, by extension, Unalaska itself. Find all episodes of both shows on our website and on Spotify. Here's a look at what's happening in Unalaska this week. A week-long Unungam Tanu workshop is happening now, and there are lessons for all ages available. Call Anfisia at the Kamalungan Tribe for more info at 907-581-2920. A wellness committee meeting takes place in the UCSD library tomorrow at 3:30. The Fireside Writing Club meets at the public library tomorrow evening starting at 7. Share your poetry, spoken word, song lyrics, short fiction, or any creative work you've been crafting with a supportive community eager to provide feedback and inspiration. This club is open to all levels of writers, ages 16 and up, regardless of experience. The Unalaska Raiders take on the Dillingham Wolverines this week. The basketball games run from Thursday afternoon through Friday evening. Head to the high school gym tomorrow at 3:45 to catch the first game. The Unalaska Junior High boys will take on the junior varsity team. Varsity girls play at 5 o'clock tomorrow evening, and varsity boys play at 6:30. On Friday, junior high and junior varsity girls face off at 4 o'clock. Varsity boys play Dillingham first and will celebrate their senior night Friday evening at 5:15. Varsity girls take on the Wolverines next. Their senior night starts at 7 o'clock Friday. All varsity games will be broadcast live over 89.7 FM, Channel 8 TV, and our website at kucb.org. Dive-in movie night, yep, you heard that right, takes place at the Aquatics Center Friday starting at 6:30. Enjoy a movie on the big screen while swimming in the pool for just $5. Children who have not passed their swim test must be accompanied by an adult. Finally, the Valentine's Art Jam is happening at the Museum of the Aleutians Saturday starting at noon. Get creative making Valentine's cards while enjoying the sweet sounds of love songs over the radio. Crafting runs until 4, and radio DJ training with love song requests runs from 1 to 3. This event is a collaboration between KUCB and the Museum of the Aleutians. To learn more about these events and everything else coming up, check out your community calendar at kucb.org. That's the news from Unalaska. This is KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk. For more local coverage and community events, check out our website at kucb.org. Stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts. Take care.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an environmental assistant. The Shimigan Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a housekeeper and a bartender. The Adaga Tribe of King Cove is looking for a tribal administrator, a part-time or full-time IGAP assistant, and a solid waste recycling technician. The Belkoski Tribe of King Cove is looking for a part-time IGAP assistant, a full-time Belkoski Environmental Program assistant, and a part-time Pultab sales clerk. ETS is hiring a behavior health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for Falls Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. APIA is in need of a family advocate for King Cove, Sandpoint, and Falls Pass, and a cultural preservation specialist for Accutan. And today is February 5th, 2025. Happy birthday to Alyssa Ludwig and Preston Dishkin. And that's all for the Community Window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
This program was brought to you by Jim and Shirley Brown's Apartments, located in Sandpoint above Trident Seafoods and the Boat Harbor. Featuring two-bedroom Apartments on a month-to-month basis. For more information, call Jim Brown at 386-6050.
Baby, who's calling the shots? imagine no possessions.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. Kitchen door. You better not let him in. Little old lady got mutilated late last night. Werewolves of London again. Hairy-handed gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him. He'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his tailor. Saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. His hair was perfect.
To KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint 88.1 FM K201DA King Cove, Alaska.
Just for me, as the seasons change, remember how I used to be. Now I can't go on, I can't even start. I got nothing left, just an empty heart. I'm a soldier, wounded, so I must give up the fight. There's nothing more for me. Lead me away. Or leave me lying here. go now. Tell them I don't care. There's not a road I know that leads to anywhere. Without a light, I fear that I will stumble in the dark. Lay right down, decide not to go on. Then from on high, somewhere in the distance, there's a voice that calls, remember. So be strong tonight. Remember who you are. Yeah, you're a soldier now.
Time, a friend of the devil is. is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight.
Getting lonely, getting old, can you feel me? Hey you, standing in the aisles with itchy feet and fainting smiles, can you feel me? Hey you, don't help them to bury the lies. Don't give in without a fight. Hey you, out there on your own, sitting naked by the phone, would you touch me? Hey you, with your ear against the wall, waiting for someone to call out, would you touch me? Help me to carry the stone. Open your heart, I'm coming home.
bar's too high, 'cause you can't see.